Glory to God, hallelujah, praise God. You're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast. And this morning, we're going to continue our series titled, A City Set on a Hill. Hallelujah, A City Set on a Hill. And it's been a great time in the Word of God. It's been a great time. It's been a blessing. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 down to 16. Matthew chapter 5. 13 down to 16. Glory to God. We're going to find, this is where we find the text or the phrase, statement, whichever you choose. A city set on a hill. Matthew chapter 5, and I'll start from verse 13. Bible says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Hallelujah. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, or your Father in heaven. Glory to God. So, we've seen how we are described as the light of the world. Bible describes us as the light of the world. That's not just coming from just anybody in the Bible. That's coming from Christ himself. Jesus looks at men and he says, you are the light of the world. Of course, they were not even born again at this point in time. But then, they were his disciples. And of course, he was anticipating a time when they were going to receive the gospel. So he says, you are the light of the world. Amen. And the reason why I'm saying this is because when you read through the New Testament, the idea of us being light is really about the fact that we have received Jesus. Glory to God. The believer is referred to as light in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5. We are referred to as light in the Lord. We are also called sons of the light. We are going to see these places shortly. Ephesians in chapter 5. And I'll read verse 8. So Bible refers to us as light because we have faith in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:8. Bible says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Did you see that? Amen. So the basis for saying we are light in the Lord is because of our faith in him. Amen. If you are unsaved, then you are darkness. Hallelujah. You are darkness if you're unsaved. You're unrighteousness if you're unsaved. You are, you have a portion or a part with Belial if you are unsaved. But if you are saved, you are light in the Lord. You are righteous and you have no part with Belial. Your part is with Christ. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians also. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. So the basis for saying we are the light is our faith in Jesus Christ, who is the true light. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll read verse 4. Bible says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you as a thief. You all are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Hallelujah. So we are not of the night. We are not in darkness. We are sons of the light, and that's because of our faith in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, you are the light of the world. Praise God. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Disciples, and by extension, as we've seen through scriptures, that applies to us today. We are believers in Christ Jesus, and we are light in the Lord. Amen. So, and we've also seen the relevance of the instruction that followed. Jesus says to shine as light. Now, if we are instructed to shine as light or to let our light shine, it's because it's impossible to be the light, or rather, it's because it's possible to be the light and not shine. Hallelujah. It's possible. That's why that instruction is relevant in the first place. If by being light, you automatically be shining everywhere, then that instruction will not be necessary. But the reason why we have that instruction given us is because it's possible to be the light and not shine. Praise God. Also, we began to see how shining the light begins with the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Not some random good works that are common to men. You don't say, I'm shining the light of Christ, and you're not preaching the gospel, but then you are into other forms of good deeds, charitable works, and all that. That's not what it means to shine the light. That's not the basis for shining the light. Amen. Now, we know there are different kinds of good works. There are different things you can do that could pass for good works. However, we've seen that the place where we are to begin shining the light, or the place where we ought to start out in our quest to shine the light on this world, is in the place of preaching the gospel. Praise God. We don't start out by just doing good things. Amen. And you know, I shared in the last teaching how that you could do all the good stuff, do all the good deeds, and then just be taken as any random person. Hallelujah. You're just taken as any random person. You're just taken to be, you might just be taken as maybe a fraudster, praise God, or anything. Or maybe just a philanthropist because of your charitable deeds. Glory to God. So, doing every other form of good work or every other kind of good work without an emphasis on the preaching of the gospel or deriving your identity solely as a preacher of the gospel or primarily as a preacher of the gospel is counterproductive. That's not how to shine the light of Christ. Amen. That's not how to shine the light of Christ. Hallelujah. So, shining the light begins with the preaching of the gospel, not some random good works that are common to men. Amen. The man Cornelius is a testimony to the fact that a man can possess certain enviable qualities without being born again. Amen. A man can possess enviable qualities. That is qualities that make men say, wow, this guy is a good guy. Without being born again. Hallelujah. I see, that's why the gospel of morality is dead on arrival. Praise God. It's dead on arrival because You can possess some moral qualities, some good qualities without being a Christian. Hallelujah. Jesus did not come to change men's character primarily. He came to give life to dead men. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in sins and trespasses. He made you alive, you who were dead in sins and trespasses. So Jesus did not come with some moral codes of ethics. That's not the reason why he came in the first place. He came to give life to men that were dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's why moral qualities, good ethics, conduct is not exclusive to believers. Amen. So what you find in Christ as the fruit of the Spirit is something that surpasses human morals. And I'll give you an explanation. What you find in Christ as the fruit of the Spirit is something that surpasses human morals. Amen. That's why you find an instruction like love your enemies. That's not morality. Humans cannot love their enemies. They don't have the capacity to do that. Glory to God. Peace, long-suffering. So, the fruit of the Spirit are things peculiar to Jesus. But listen, humans cannot see the difference, actually. Amen. Humans cannot see the difference. That's why you could look at a man who is not walking in love, and you can't say for sure whether he's walking in love or he's not walking in love. How do you explain a man that distributes food to the entire neighborhood or the entire community? How do you explain? What do you want to say about him? Would you take it if somebody comes and says, this man is not working in love, this man is just trying to show off? I mean, that would be unfair. You don't know him. Why become a judge of his intent and motives? Praise God. So you see, from a natural point of view, it's quite difficult to judge who is really in Christ or who is not in Christ, who is born again, who is not born again, merely on the basis of their deeds. Amen. Or merely by their deeds, by their actions. Hallelujah. It's quite difficult. That's why I said, if Cornelius were to be around today, it's possible a lot of believers would consider him to be a born-again person. Some would even consider him to be a pastor. Because the qualities we see in the life of Cornelius, I mean, enviable qualities. Acts of Apostles chapter 10 verse 1 to 3, Bible says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. Hallelujah. So imagine the qualities. He was a devout man. To be devout means to be well reverent. Amen. Well reverent. He had reverence for God. It means to be pious. It means to be godly. Glory to God. Bible says he feared God with all his household. Amen. Imagine that. He feared God, not just him, with his entire household. This could pass for a pastor. Amen. You know, Paul, while writing to Timothy, says a pastor must be able, or a bishop and elder must be able to rule his own household. Cornelius had such an influence in his family. When it was time for them to hear the gospel, he summoned everybody in his house and they came. Amen. Now, you know, something funny just came to mind. You could say, well, that's because he was a soldier. Hallelujah. But the Bible says he feared God with his entire household. And to fear God in this place, the word fear here means he was in awe of God. He was also a generous giver. The Bible says he gave alms generously. The word alms means compassionateness. So the man, Cornelius, was a man of compassion. Ooh, hallelujah. This guy was an unbeliever. He wasn't born again. He didn't have the Spirit of God within him. Compassionate. And this is mostly exercised towards the poor. This kind of compassion, alms giving, it's for the poor. So see the qualities. He was also very prayerful. The Bible says he prayed to God. He prayed to God always. This guy just ticked Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. It just ticked 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It just ticked Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer. It just ticked Romans 12:12. Hallelujah. Without being a Christian, he prayed to God always. He wasn't born again. Of course, because Cornelius as a man most likely was practicing the religion of the Jews. So he was converted to Judaism. He was a proselyte. Hallelujah. So he was prayerful. He had the fear of God. He was a devout man. Amen. Then, to top it all, he saw a vision of an angel. The vision is different from, you know, seeing things spiritually. This particular vision was an open vision. He saw an open vision. Hallelujah. The KJV says, he saw in a vision evidently. The word evidently is the word phaneros, which means plainly, clearly, or publicly. The word evidently is phaneros, which means plainly, clearly, or publicly. So he saw an angel in bodily form. That's an open vision. Hallelujah. So he had a supernatural encounter. Look at that. Yet he was not born again. Angelic manifestations. Hallelujah. And this is not new. If you remember Luke chapter 2 verse 8 to 14, the shepherds in the field while they were watching their flocks, Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared to them and they were afraid. And he said to them, don't be afraid, fear not. I will brought you glad tidings which will be to all people. The Savior is born to you this day and all that. So imagine being in the same country with Cornelius as a Christian. Hallelujah. Imagine being in the same country with a man who had this kind of qualities. Spiritual qualities. Amen. Or let's say religious qualities. And all you are doing as a believer is giving alms and praying also. You're not preaching the gospel. You're not talking about Jesus. But you are busy giving alms. You are praying also. And you fear God. Men know that you are such a pious person. Imagine being in the same country or the same street with the man Cornelius. Hallelujah. Would that lead men to Christ? No. You just pass for another religious guy around. So, let your light shine before men must be well understood as something that is done primarily by the preaching of the gospel. Amen. It must be understood as something that is done primarily by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. In fact, if we look at the words used closely, you see that the shining of our lights is about giving light to men. I emphasized this in the last teaching, that when we say to shine the light, it is not merely shining the light in front of them and they're admiring it. It's about giving them light. It's about bringing them out of darkness into the light of God. The same way we found the light, we embraced the light, and we were delivered from the power of darkness, our shining the light in this world is to the end that men are drawn away from darkness, or they are put out of darkness into the light of God. Hallelujah. They have to be pulled out of darkness. So the shining of our light is about giving light to men. Amen. Matthew 5:16. Let's see it again. So our light must bring men out of darkness. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The word shine is from the Greek word lampo. Hallelujah. L-A-M-P-O. That's the Greek word shine, which means to give light. So let your light give light to men. Hallelujah. Or let your light give light in the presence of men. The word before also means in the presence of. Let your light give light in the presence of men. Hallelujah. And then, you know, I already said, when he says, let your light so shine, the word so there means in this way. So, let your light in this way give light in the presence of men. In what way? Verse 15 again. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. The same way light or lamp is put on the lampstand to give light to everybody in the house is the way the believer is meant to be positioned to give light to men. Hallelujah. Guess what? The phrase gives light, as used at verse 15, is the same word lampo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light. That phrase gives light is the same word lampo, translated shine at verse 16. So we are not out of line to say when we say let your light so shine before men, it also means let your light give light to men. Hallelujah. Because it has to be in the same manner. What the lamp does is to give light to men. Amen. Praise God. The lamp isn't there merely to be admired. Hallelujah. That's not the reason for the lamp. Oh, what a great light. What a great lamp in this place. No, that's not the purpose of lamp. It is to give light to people. Hallelujah. To prevent them from walking in darkness. That's the purpose of the lamp. So that's the same way we are to give light to men to bring them out of darkness. Glory to God. So our shining as the light is basically about giving light to men. We saw this example well from the life of John the Baptist in the last teaching. That is our mission and our task, to give light to men. Jesus describes the greatest prophet of the Old Testament as a burning and shining light in whose light men rejoiced for a while or for a time. Now Jesus refers to John the Baptist as the greatest of all the prophets in the Old Testament. Glory to God. And Jesus describes him as a burning and shining lamp of shining light. John chapter 5, verse 33 to 35. John 5, 33 to 35. We saw this yesterday. Let's see it again. Bible says, you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. It was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Glory to God. Says John was a burning and shining lamp, and they were willing to rejoice in his light for a time. Now, just like we said in the last teaching, how did John shine and burn as a lamp or as a light? How exactly? John chapter 1 verse 69. Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might be saved, or that all through him might believe. It was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Hallelujah. So how was John burning and shining as the lamp? He shined as the light by preaching Jesus, the true light. Hallelujah. How did John shine and burn as a lamp? He shined as the light by preaching Jesus as the true light. Hallelujah. So we have to recognize that Jesus is our light. Glory to God. Jesus is our light. We became light in him. And this means we cannot give light to the world without presenting Christ to them. Praise God. You can't say you are shining the light, or you are shining as a light in this world, or you are giving light to men in this world without presenting Jesus. Jesus is your light. Hallelujah. Jesus is the light. And we are here to bear witness or to testify to Christ. Glory to God. The Apostle John tells us that the life of Christ is the light of men. John chapter 1, 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hallelujah. Look at that. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Glory to God. So we can't say we are giving men life if they are, we are giving men the light if we are not presenting Christ to them. Because the life of Christ is the light of men. Hallelujah. The life of Jesus is the light of men. Hallelujah. What's the light of men? Christ. So you can't assume that Jesus will be talking about shining as the light outside the context of pointing men to him. Glory to God. It would be wrong, it would be fatal, a conclusion to say that Jesus, when he instructs us to shine as the light, was saying we should just be doing good things. No, that would be a fatal conclusion. Praise God. He identified himself as the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. So you can't assume Jesus was giving instruction or is giving us instruction to shine as light without reference to himself. Hallelujah. Reference to him as the light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when we talk about shining as the light, it must be in the context of pointing men to Christ. He is the light, our light, and the light of the whole world. So you see how he describes John the Baptist as a burning and shining lamp, because he bore witness to him. So that it was in the preaching ministry of John the Baptist that men found the light. Glory to God. You know, Jesus says, and they rejoiced in his light for a while. You were willing to rejoice in his light for a while. It was in his teaching or preaching ministry that they found the light and they rejoiced in his light. Glory to God. So the good works is not about you shining before your peers or at your workplace. Those are good achievements. Glory to God. And you know, most times those achievements are on a pepper them level. You want to be the best in class. You want to, all those things are good. But, you know, that's not what we are talking about. Glory to God. The good works in Christ aren't for self-exaltation or self-glorying. They are not things people see and begin to admire you. No. They are things they see and they are transformed. Hallelujah. In fact, in these good works, they ought not to see you. And that's why Jesus says they would glorify your Father in heaven. The attention or the focus will not be on you. Because you are not the person you are pointing to. You are bearing witness to someone else. So the focus and the attention and the spotlight will never be on you. It will be on Christ. Glory to God. John the Baptist got this right absolutely. John chapter 3 and verse 30. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Hallelujah. He must increase, but I must decrease. That should be the normal consequence of not bearing witness to yourself, but to Christ. I mean, if you are not pointing to yourself, then you have to be, you don't have to be the one under the spotlight. You can't be the one under the spotlight. Glory to God. So he says, he must increase while I decrease. That should be the normal consequence of not bearing witness to yourself, but to Christ. We are witnesses, folks. Hallelujah. Folks, we are witnesses to Christ. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and to the uttermost part of the earth. We are witnesses. Witnesses are men who bear witness and testify to the person of Christ. Hallelujah. So we shine as light. That is, we give light to men by pointing them to the light. Paul used the word lampo also at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, where he says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. That's the word shine. Glory to God. So can you see how Paul was shining as the light? Amen. Can you see how Paul was shining as the light? He was pointing men to Christ, the true light. And just like John the Baptist, he also didn't draw attention to himself. Paul was not drawing attention to himself. He wasn't under the spotlight. He was merely pointing to the person of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 5, he says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your bond servants, for Jesus' sake." Glory to God. We do not preach ourselves. Hallelujah. So this is where shining as light begins. It's by bearing witness to the person of Christ. Now there's no doubt. Listen. Now there's no doubt that John might have done other good works. There's no doubt that John was given to other kinds of good works, charitable deeds. Paul also, there's no doubt, praise God. But the point is this, that they found their identity primarily in what? In being witnesses to the light. Amen. So that's the only way men will think of your good works or other good works. Men will think of them differently. Glory to God. Paul was a tent maker, but he wasn't trying to use his skills to draw attention to Christ. He did that for a living and preached Christ as his gospel. Glory to God. Paul was into tent making, but that was not how he wanted to shine the light of Jesus. He was in tent making for a living. Acts 20:34, he says, "You know that my hands have provided for my own necessities and for those with me." So Paul was laboring as a tent maker for a living to make ends meet. Praise God. But you see, when it came to shining the light, it was about preaching the gospel of Christ. Glory to God. Now, listen, friend. I'm not saying it's wrong to desire to excel in your career or excel in your field. That's not what I'm saying. Praise God. No, because many times when people hear things like this, they feel you are discouraging them from, you know, being at their best at their workplace or maybe in class, anything at all. That's not what we're saying. But you see, that desire to top the class, the desire to be the best at your workplace is not exclusive to you as a Christian. Amen. As a matter of fact, an unbeliever can top the class and be the best person at the workplace. Glory to God. And Jesus will not be angry. God will not be like, "Wow, oh, look at these Christians. They fall in my hands." So, no. Hallelujah. There will be no reaction from God because of that. No way. Amen. So it's good to desire those things and all. But see, when it comes to shining as the light, it's particularly about the things found in Christ. That is how to shine the light of Christ. Listen, the idea of trying to excel in your field so men can know Jesus sounds very good. I mean, it sounds so good. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Amen. That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, the reason why men are thinking in that direction today is because there are preachers who encourage that kind of mindset and thinking and orientation. Praise God. And then you begin to wonder, sometimes you wonder if these guys never had a past, were never at a point in their lives when nobody knew them, they were not influential, they were not famous, they hadn't achieved much in life, yet they were serving Jesus, praise God, and they were reaching out to people. Do you know how absurd the thought of, "I want to top the class so people can know that I'm a Christian"? Do you know how absurd it sounds? Amen. You want to top the class before people will get to know that you're a Christian. It doesn't make sense. What happens all through the semester? Amen. All through the session, before the exam. What happens? Your Christianity will be barren, no fruit, no reaching out to anybody. It doesn't make sense. So the idea of trying to excel in your field so men can know Jesus sounds so good, but that's not what the Bible teaches. We have been made sufficient as ministers of the new covenant by God's Spirit without any external qualifications. Hallelujah. Without any external qualifications. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 to 6, Bible says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Are you getting what we're saying here? Hallelujah. We are not sufficient of ourselves. Don't try to help God. I want to achieve something. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to be this. Let it not be so that men can believe in the gospel. No. That's you trying to rely on the arm of the flesh. Trying to rely on your own wisdom. That's building your sufficiency on your own achievements. That's wrong. Amen. Desire to succeed. Desire to excel for other reasons. Not so that you can draw men to Christ. No. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. What we rely on is the sufficiency of God's ability in us by His Spirit. Amen. So we are sufficient by the enablement of God's Spirit. Glory to God. What business did Jesus excel in to make people listen to Him? What exactly? Hallelujah. There's no record in scriptures that he was the best in carpentry and then he was doing stuff, marvelous things, and Herod and all the chief priests, they were making orders from his... There's no such record. Glory to God. Now, that's not to say that he was not doing well in his business. That's not to say that. But the point is, that is not the basis for drawing men to God, for drawing men to the knowledge of the Father. He had a different selling point. In quotes, praise the Lord. He had something else that drew attention to his message. Amen. What exactly did Philip do to get men to listen in Samaria? Glory to God. What exactly? He went into that land and he preached Christ. And signs and wonders were happening. Miracles untold. Amen. Miracles. So that men saw a difference between a sorcerer and the gospel and the power of Jesus. Glory to God. What did Peter do on the day of Pentecost? Preach Christ. He talked about Jesus. And over 3,000 souls were attracted. Over 3,000 souls were drawn to Christ. Hallelujah. Many times we rely on natural charisma. But in Christ, the Holy Ghost is our charisma. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is our charisma for ministry. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Those are the things that we see in the gospel. Hallelujah. That's our charisma in Christ. The word charisma, which is the English word charisma, is the exact Greek word. Amen. Used for the gift of the Spirit at 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So that's where the English word charisma also came from. It's originally a Greek word. So our charisma is the Spirit. The operations of the Spirit. So we are not to rely on ourselves. Paul says our sufficiency is of God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you know what you are meant to be doing with your success and excellence at your workplace, in school, and all those things? Do you know what you are meant to be doing with them primarily? Amen. Those things, that's the reason why, you know, when you write your CV, those things count on your CV. Amen. They count on your CV. You put your certificates, they see your grades, and they count on your CV. They position you for more in the things of this life, more in the secular world. That's exactly where those things are needed, though. Amen. Not in Christ. No. Not in Christ. In fact, Paul says, God calls and uses people who are not regarded in this world. Praise the Lord. And you see, that's the reason why we're not going to ordain you as a pastor in the church or a church leader to serve in the leadership capacity because you came out to the first class. It's irrelevant to the ministry. Hallelujah. I'm talking about real church now. I'm not talking about all these 21st century churches springing up where the pastor is like the CEO and all that. I'm not talking about churches run like businesses. No, I'm talking about real church, church like the early church. You don't find men qualified in the early church to do things in the body of Christ because of their natural or earthly or secular qualifications. It's not like that. Amen. But you see, that first class is needed for you to excel and do well in the corporate world. So go for it. Praise God. But for ministry, that's not what you're looking for. No, 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 no. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31, listen, he says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of this world, and the things that are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he will glory, let him glory in the Lord." Did you see that? Of course, this is the call for salvation. But in the same vein, as a man receives salvation, he receives the ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. So he receives the ministry of reconciliation in his raw state as he is. Amen. He could be a plumber, a fisherman. He could be an illiterate, educated or uneducated. Anybody in your raw state, you receive the work of ministry or the call to ministry, and you begin the work of ministry by the enablement of the Spirit of God. There's no external qualification. Amen. Many believers have been trained in a way that they are trying to help God in the ministry. They want to become something in the world before they can be used of God to save men. It's funny. You want to be something. So after you are now something, God will now use you. That's wrong. Hallelujah. It's okay to aspire to be great in your career or field, but realize that God does not need your greatness to reach the world. He does not need your greatness to reach the world. His greatness is sufficient. Hallelujah. God's own greatness is sufficient. And that's your sufficiency. His spirit. Think of a God who called a physician like Luke. Physician is like a doctor. Calls a physician like Luke and then gave him power to heal the sick. Amen. You need to correct your impression about these things. Why would God call a doctor and then give him power to heal the sick? Glory to God. Isn't that funny? The man went to school to learn how to treat sick people. Then you call him into the ministry and you give him power to heal the sick. What does that suggest? That God is not in need of his medical knowledge to heal the sick. Hallelujah. Now, God is not against his medical knowledge. God is not against his knowledge of medicine. No. He can keep practicing. He should keep practicing. He should do those stuff. I mean, humanitarian tasks and all that. Attend to people, treat them. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, God is not relying on his knowledge of medicine to heal the sick in the ministry. Hallelujah. At the hospital or anywhere else, he's consulting as a doctor. He can attend to patients with his knowledge of medicine. Amen. But when it comes to ministering in the body of Christ or ministering or preaching the gospel anywhere, God is not expecting him to be handing to men Panadol and Paracetamol and all those things. No, the qualification is the Spirit. Glory to God. So God does not need any external qualifications. He makes us sufficient to do the work of ministry. You need to correct those impressions that have been ministered, you know, to you from different preachers or pastors. I know those thoughts, those ideas are flying around. Amen. But it is not scriptural. I make bold to say to you, it is not scriptural. You will not find any support for it in the entire New Testament. Glory to God. Amen. It's an insult to think you must attain a certain level in life. Hallelujah. It's an insult to think you must attain a level of success in this world to let the world know who God is. It's an insult. Remember, God once set a fisherman above his church as the leader, Peter the Apostle. He was a fisherman. He was not educated. Remember that when Christ came, he didn't choose from the finest crop of individuals. He chose the rough guys, men who were unrefined. And they became a force to be reckoned with in the nations of the earth. That's what Jesus can do. Glory to God. What did he give to them? You shall receive power. Acts 1:8. after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That was it. That's a charisma. Peter looked at the man by the beautiful gate and said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles 3:6-7. Some believers are too educated, sophisticated, experienced, exposed, social, poised to remember the one thing given to us, the name of Jesus. They are too full of themselves. They are too full of their attainments, their earthly achievements, to remember they have one thing given to them, the name of Jesus, God's sufficiency in Christ. Hallelujah. Don't fall for that lie or deception that's everywhere around us today. Jesus alone equips us to shine as the light. You have what it takes to shine as the light. Preach the gospel in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus gave us just two things. His word and his spirit. Guess what? The spirit primarily empowers us to preach the word. Jesus says, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. The spirit is upon me and he has enabled me to preach. Glory to God. At Acts 1:8, the Bible says the same about us. You shall receive power and you shall become witnesses. Our shining as the light must begin with pointing men to the light. And we must trust that we have sufficiency in God. Hallelujah. We must believe we are up to the task in Christ. Glory to God. Praise God. You must believe you are up to the task in Christ. That is, as you are right now, you are set. Amen. You are ready. You are set to bear witness to Jesus. You are set to shine the light of the gospel. It is not until you achieve everything in this life. It is not until you get to the top of the corporate ladder. No! In Christ, you have been equipped, made sufficient to be a witness to the glory of God. Hallelujah. So, you don't need to wait. Amen? You know, that idea of I must be this before I can now shine for Jesus, before I can now draw men to Christ, that would require you wait, you want to attain and achieve many things. No. But when you know that Jesus is your sufficiency, then you're not going to be waiting to become something in this life before you can be used of Christ. You realize you're already something in Christ. Hallelujah. And that's enough. Hallelujah. That's enough. Paul at 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. You're already sufficient in Christ to shine as the light. You have all it takes to shine as the light. Amen. Jesus says you are already the light. So you can't be the light and be waiting to achieve something before you start shining. For being the light, you have the capacity to shine right away. Nothing in this life will add to that capacity. All that you need to shine as the light is found in Christ, where you are right now. Your position in Christ today, that is all you need to shine as the light and to be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Glory to God. I'm going to continue from here in the next teaching. Do good to tune in. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of power, full of spiritual songs, full of the Holy Ghost, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.